we were negotiating a very large gas line deal with the major producers, and myself, as well as the Commissioner of Natural Resources and the Deputy Commissioner, felt that the deal we had negotiated was beyond our authority under the law. And so at that point, Commissioner Irwin asked for a clarification from the Attorney General, and at the point he asked for that opinion. Again, we were very concerned that we weren't legally correct in where we were. And when Governor Murkowski let go of Commissioner Irwin, the rest of us decided we could no longer support the process. Again, we felt fundamentally we were outside our legal authority and what was being negotiated. So basically, part of my management style is that integrity. I have to believe that I'm doing the right thing for the people or of Alaska, or I simply can't do it.
How do you see your role in, we've had different commissioners in the past, some have been very resource-focused, development-focused, and others have not. How would you say that you want to look at balancing those duties?
Well, first of all, you look at the job description, you look at the state constitution, and when you look at those, it's for the benefit of the maximum benefit of the people of Alaska, which is a very broad statement, as you said, because there are a lot of different users of different resources. So when you look at it, you need to manage the resource base in a sustainable fashion. And given that most of our income is coming from non-renewable resources, first of all, it's important that the state collect what's appropriate in terms of value out of those resources, so that then those resources can be used, the income from those resources can be used to develop the economy, develop the infrastructure, public schools, public safety, all the things that we depend on. So it's important that the state get decent value out of its resources. At the same time, it needs to build an economy. So there's an economic component. There's a understanding that you have to develop those resources in the concept of the ecosystem. So we have to make sure we protect the other natural values along with those. And inherently, there's some conflict with that, just the nature of the changes that large-scale resource development causes. So balancing that is really important, understanding the long-term consequences and making good decisions with good public input. So again, it's a true balancing act of balancing the needs of the current generation of people, the needs for income, the needs for preservation, and the needs for long-term sustainable development of the non-renewable and renewable resources together. It's complicated, but it's important. And to do that, you have to have good data and good science. You have to understand the system. You also have to understand the needs of the people in the communities.
What do you think the biggest challenges ahead will be for your department?
Well, I think everyone, because we are so dependent on oil revenue, the current budget crisis is real. So we are going to have to make cuts in terms of our state government, in terms of services. It's just where we're at in the short term. At the same time, we have to recognize that commodity prices, as oil, are very cyclic, and they will come back up again. So within that structure, we have to make wise decisions on what we choose to cut and what we choose to keep. And we have to make sure that we don't kill the golden goose at the same time. So it's a real balancing act. The biggest challenge will be not to knee-jerk and make short-term decisions that have really negative long-term repercussions. The second is we clearly need to broaden the base in our oil industry. We have a relatively small number of companies exploring developing Alaska. And if we want to have more capital, we have to bring more companies in on the oil and gas front in terms of seeing these smaller companies that are often the innovators come and invest more in Alaska to look at our remaining oil and gas resources, conventional and the non-conventional resources, which have not yet been developed in Alaska. So that's one part of it, is building the economic base. At the same time, you know, because of the changing climate, because of our environmental changes, we're going to have to manage our resource base adaptively. So working with stakeholders to make sure that we make really wise resource decisions. And we revisit resource decisions when we see the baseline conditions have changed. So that's really important, important piece of an adaptive management structure for a very structured decision making for these complex resource decisions. So I'd like to do what I can to make sure that in the department is fully engaged with using the best available science in this decision making.
The state is currently in talks with the North Slope producers to develop a natural gas pipeline. How has the transition from Parnell to Walker affected these conversations?
Since I'm not officially even in the job, I've had some briefings on non-confidential briefings on where we are. But I think right now the Walker administration's learning what's been negotiated and what hasn't been negotiated. It intends to continue those discussions and negotiations. But we're really in that learning phase of learning what's been done. We're looking at the technical teams and the data from the technical teams that so far is available. So we're sort of in that deep dive stage to actually figure out where we are in that structure. Clearly, the administration wants to see a large gas line, so it's working toward that end. So I would say right now, stay tuned. We're really just in that process of evaluating where we are.
And although you haven't had a confidential briefing, as you mentioned, you're not in the job yet, do you have this is a field, an area that you know a tremendous amount about, have worked in for many years. Do you have specific ideas for what needs to be done to proceed with plans for a gas line?
Well, certainly the largest challenge is this is a very, very expensive project no matter how you build it. If you make it to scale enough, so you're pushing large enough volumes of gas to make it commercially viable. So with those large capital costs and with the state's planned involvement in that project, the state has to really look at its risk profile. Where is it going to come up with the capital for its share of its investment? What's the risks to the state? And then furthermore, what does the market really look like? We have to understand the gas market out there, 10 years from now, 8 to 10 years from now. And there's a lot of uncertainty in that market right now. So locking in those key variables is the first thing. Really understanding is the market prices, are they going to be high enough to support the project? Can you get willing buyers? Can the state manage its share of risk with the price volatility, potential cost overruns in the project? And how the state chooses to do that is really important.
With oil prices so low, what do you think the outlook is for new investment for oil drilling projects?
It's a complicated question, but fundamentally, when prices are lower, investment pulls back. It's pretty simple. The question is, if it's a short-term bubble and we see higher prices in the relatively near future, or whether it takes years to sort out. And that's really a question. It's an international question. Right now, we're seeing overproduction coming out of the OPEC countries, which is driving the price down. I think we're still in a good position relative to our core field production in Alaska, so we can be competitive at relatively lower prices. It's much more challenging for places like North Dakota and the Permian Basin in the U.S. It's much more challenging for Russia and some of the Middle Eastern countries. So what we are going to see then is a real shakeout in the market. We're going to see a decline of production. Because new wells won't come online, old wells will decline, and over time the market will jump back. Historically, we've seen this several times in Alaska already. The biggest one is around 85, 86 time frame, where we saw it going from a $27, $30 oil down to $9 oil. Within a year of that time, the oil price had jumped back up. So really, we're looking in the short term. You have to make long-term decisions, not based on short terms, but you know that during the short-term period of time, there will be a reaction of the market. And they will scale back, particularly on the exploration scale, based on historical context. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, we don't control that. We still have to create a longer-term environment. I believe, again, longer-term sustainable oil development needs higher prices than we have now. So we'll see a shakeout short-term, but then we'll see supply decrease and market price go back up. So whether that's 6 months from now, 2 years from now, I can't tell you. I don't think anyone really knows.